When I was studying for school, I was permitted to take one choice course, just one. There was a road that you were supposed to take if you were planning to go into medicine, and at least when I was going through, there were so many prerequisites, pre-requirements, that your entire timetable was filled up. But there was one place, there's just one gap. And I took a course on astronomy. And I wonder if I hadn't gone into medicine where I'd end up. But that's a story for another time. And I'll never forget some of the descriptions that these men of science would give concerning the celestial beings, the heavens and the stars above. And yet they didn't realize the one who made them was the same God in heaven who made them. Recently, in the last 2 years, they discovered a tenth planet in our solar system. And that planet goes out and around our sun and travels around, and it takes almost 400 years to make it once around what we consider our annual year. Our sun is one of the smaller suns, not really anything of any magnitude, compared to some of the other big stars in this galaxy we call the Milky Way. There's one particular star that is of such magnitude and size that if you were able to take it like a beach ball and cut it in half and scoop out the contents of each and close it down like a big, big shell, you'd be able to open that shell up and place inside our sun. You'd be able to place inside the Earth. You'd be able, actually, to be able to place inside Mercury and Venus and Mars and Saturn and Jupiter and Neptune, Uranus, Pluto, and Planet X now, that last tenth planet. You could put them all inside that shell, and you could close up the shell. What's more, you could put those planets in orbit. You place the sun right in the middle, and place all of the other planets out to the edge, and that final last little planet X wouldn't scrape along the inside of that star. Small wonder, David says, when I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what was man, that thou art mindful of him? You could scarcely see us from heaven's celestial place. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ deigned to come down. He who thought it not robbery to be equal with God made himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a servant. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He came into this world, and when he came into this place, there was literally no room for him, such that he was born outside. You know, sometimes we get indignant with others. I know I do from time to time. When we're not shown the deference and we're not shown the respect that we think that we are entitled to. I wonder what it was for the Son of God who made everything. Paul tells us nothing was made, Paul would say to us, nothing was that he did not make with his own hands is the best translation. Nothing was. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him all things consist or hold together. And he came into this world, and there was no room. There was no room. If the Lord had come and Augustus himself had opened up the palace gates in Rome and invited the King of Kings and Lord of Lords to enter into the most glorious palace in the earth. What a humble stoop that would have been. What an immense stoop to come down. But our Savior, when he was born, there was absolutely no room. And the Bible says that all that Mary could do was grab swaddling clothes. Now, we have somewhat, in our own minds, elevated swaddling clothes, but literally this means strips of rags that have been torn away from garments as they've been used. And the Lord Jesus Christ was wrapped in these discarded robes. The only other place that we read of swaddling clothes in the Bible is literally grave clothes. Because these were the clothes that were going to be consigned to the earth and lost and wasted anyhow. And the Lord Jesus Christ was born outside without any room. And he was wrapped in grave clothes. I wonder what the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ was. Our Savior stooped so low simply to come down and deign to be with us. And it's very interesting that Luke takes the time, and we don't have the time this morning, but Luke takes the time to say that though there was no room for him in the inn, he made room for us in that large, upper, fully furnished place where he observed the Passover with his disciples. I wish we had time to get into that, but we don't. Suffice it to say this. Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast. The Lord Jesus Christ was born outside. Turn with me, please, if you would, to Matthew chapter 8, verse 20, just one verse. In response to a question from a scribe and a Pharisee, the Lord Jesus Christ says this. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 20. Jesus said unto him, "The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head." Jerusalem was by right the Lord Jesus Christ's. The city of David, the city of the King, belonged to the Messiah of God. Now we can go through the Old Testament and show that in many different ways and in many different places. But by rights, Jerusalem was his. But did he have the palace of the King? Did he have any place, home in Jerusalem? No. The Bible would actually tell us that he only spent one night in Jerusalem because he had nowhere to spend it before. And that one night that he spent in Jerusalem was the night in which he was betrayed. And he got no sleep that night. The Lord Jesus Christ not only was born outside, he lived outside. Never owned a piece of land. Never owned a home. Never had any possessions that he could call his own. You remember when there was a request for taxation? The tax collector came calling. And the Lord Jesus Christ said something very interesting. He didn't dip his hand into his pocket to pay the taxes. He told one of his disciples, "Go down and catch a fish, and when you've caught the fish, open the fish's mouth, and inside you'll find a coin, and that's how you're going to pay our taxes for us." There was another time when the Lord Jesus Christ was surrounded by a group of disciples, and he sought to teach them, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, and unto God what is God's. And how did he do that? Did he reach down into his pocket and pull out a coin and say, here is a coin. Whose superscription, whose emblem is on it? No, he didn't. There was no coin in his pocket to be found. He said, give me a coin. Lend me a coin. The poverty of the Lord Jesus Christ. The writer was able to say this, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he were rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that we through his poverty might be made rich. Our Lord Jesus Christ walked the face of this earth, having come in outside. He lived outside. Turn with me, please, if you would, over to the book of John, chapter 7. John chapter 7, the last verse. You know, it's wonderful that we have these divisions, chapter and verse, but sometimes we lose track of the flow of the scripture because oftentimes we stop at one chapter and come back later to the beginning of the next chapter. But let's just read the connection between chapter 7 and chapter 8 of the book of John. Let's begin with verse 52. And they answered and said unto him, art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. Verse 53. And every man went unto his home, or his house. Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives. Now picture this. The Lord had spent the day preaching in the synagogue. And he had been conveying to them those things concerning eternal value of God himself. And at the end of the day of preaching, every man turned out and went to their own home. And the Lord Jesus Christ had no house to go to, so he went to the Mount of Olives to pray that. For ye know the poverty of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, the poverty of our Savior here on earth. It staggers our minds to think that he could call into being food for 5,000. That he could cause blind men to see. Lepers to be made clean. Dead to arise from their deathbeds. And yet, here on earth, he had nothing. Absolutely nothing. But our time is running. Turn with me, please, to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 12. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify or set apart the people with his own blood, suffered outside or without the gate. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp or outside the camp, bearing his reproach. You know, if the Lord Jesus Christ was born outside and he lived outside, he also died outside. Now, we all know that Calvary's cross and Golgotha's hill is literally outdoors, but that's not what I'm talking about. The Lord Jesus Christ suffered without the camp. He was not found worthy to be put to death inside the city of Jerusalem. He was relegated to the outside, pushed out. Now history would teach us that crucifixions were always performed outside the city wall. Always. It was a warning to anyone entering into the city. This is what we do to criminals. Be warned. This city punishes criminals. And the Lord Jesus Christ was put on display in his death. It was not only that the Lord Jesus Christ was to suffer pain and agony on Calvary's cross, he was to suffer the ignominy and the shame and the rebuke and the spitting and the mockery. I wonder if we could trade places with angels for just one moment when the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified. I wonder their posture in heaven. The Bible says that he could have called 12 legions of angels. In the Old Testament, one angel in one night alone slew 185,000 men. One angel. 12 legions of angels awaited the mere beckoning breath of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the entire human race would have been annihilated. Never to be seen again. Oh, we think that day, at least the world does, that Rome was in control and they put the Lord Jesus Christ to death in the manner and in the fashion and in the time and in the place that they saw fit. But we thank God for that little children's chorus. God is in control. And the Lord Jesus Christ suffered that ignominious, horrid death outside the camp. And the writer of the Hebrews makes a plea to us. Will we join him outside the camp? There's no place in this world for you, Christian. Let's just be very plain about that. There's no place for you in this world. We do not look for permanent foundation in this world, in this time. We look for another city whose builder and maker is God. And to get there, we need to go outside the camp and suffer the reproach that the Lord Jesus Christ suffered. Luke 24, please. Luke 24. Our Savior was born outside. He lived outside. He died outside. Luke 24. The last chapter. Two verses. Let's begin reading at verse 49. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with the power from on high. Verse 50. And he led them out as far as Bethany. And he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, that he was parted from them and carried up into the heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. The Lord Jesus Christ ascended outside. Outside. In another place, the scripture would teach us concerning an angel that was able to say, "Ye men of Galilee, why look ye into the heavens?" This same Jesus that is taken up from among you shall so come in like manner. The Lord Jesus Christ ascended unto his Father outside. Finally, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, our time is gone. 1 Thessalonians. Verse 16. for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. The Lord Jesus Christ one day will descend outside. He's coming back. I find it very interesting the description of this particular verse, verse 16. We read of a shout, we read of a voice, and we read of the trump of God. But you know, we don't ever read of seeing the archangel and seeing the trumpet that he blows. You notice the accuracy of Scripture? There's no encouragement in a coming day. Paul doesn't say, look for the archangel. Watch to see the trumpet that he blows. That's not found in the Bible. Why? Because our eyes will not be upon the archangel or upon the trump, but our eyes will be on the Lord Jesus Christ. Fanny Crosby wrote this hymn. You know, she was not born blind. She wasn't. She was blinded by a physician who posed, or a person who posed as a physician. And her father spent tens of thousands of dollars over all her adolescence, all her young years, well into her teens, looking for someone who could heal his daughter and make her sighted again. And she said, if I had a choice to choose to be born blind, or to live my life as being sighted, I would choose what the Lord has chosen for me. And this is what she wrote. When my life's work is ended, and I cross the swelling tide, when the bright and glorious morning I shall see, I shall know my Redeemer when I reach the other side, and His smile will be the first to welcome me. I shall know Him. I shall know Him. As redeemed by his side, I shall stand. I shall know him. I shall know him by the print of the nail in his hand. And in a coming day, if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ on the authority of Scripture, when he descends outside, you'll see him. No longer by the eye of faith, but you'll see the Lord Jesus Christ for the first time. And we don't look for the grave. And we don't look for, pardon me, we don't look for the coming of the kingdom of God. We look for the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you see him this morning? Do you see him by the eye of faith? Well, for you, he was born outside, he lived outside, he died outside, he ascended outside, and one day he'll return for you outside. And now we come to the part of the message that sometimes pricks the heart. All these things are wonderful to think about. They're intriguing to the mind, you know, we enjoy them. Isn't it wonderful how the Lord has written these things in Scripture? Everything was done outside, you know. There was no room for him in the inn, but he made room for us. He had no place to lay his head in this world. The foxes have their holes and the birds of the air have their nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. You know, there was one place, though, he did lay his head. Only one place in all of Scripture that says the Lord Jesus Christ laid his head. Same phrase in the Greek. And it was on Calvary's cross. The Bible says that he bowed his head and he dismissed his spirit. Same word as laying his head. And you know, we look at all these wonderful things and boy, we're intrigued and it's wonderful. But this is where it comes right down to the important part. The Lord Jesus Christ was relegated to the outside. Where is He in relation to our lives? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man, hear my voice, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. That was not spoken to the unbeliever. It was spoken to an assembly. And as our brother rightly said this morning, we don't need to look to other people. We don't even look to the entire congregation as a whole for revival. We need to look within ourselves. The Lord Jesus Christ endured all these things for us. How do we respond? What's our response? May it never be said of us that he came unto me and I would not receive him. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, we pray this morning that these very simple thoughts would permeate our hearts and change our lives. We know, Father, that the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. And we pray that the Word and the Word only would pierce our hearts and make us different men and women for Thee. All these things we ask because the Lord Jesus Christ is worthy, because He is deserving. Father, now for this food we return thanks. We thank Thee for the hands that have prepared it. May it nourish our bodies. And may we be mindful and compassionate to all those who go hungry this day. And share what we are able. These things we ask in our Savior's precious and holy name. Amen.
I shall know him as he by his side I shall stand.